Morning, Ben. You're going to have to do another podcast. I mean, you got a lot to update here.
Exactly. I'm thinking the same thing. It is nice, though, to have some baseball news this time of year.
All right, let's start with the Russell Martin. According to Ross Atkins, there are teams interested. So you're going, you're the Blue Jays are going, yeah. Okay. So what do you think? What is this going to take as far as what the Blue Jays have to do to get Russell Martin to another team?
Well, I think the first step would be taking on something in the neighborhood of three-quarters of the $20 million remaining on Russell Martin's contract. Because when you look around baseball, if you're a team taking on a catcher, a veteran catcher on a short-term deal, generally speaking, what we've seen from guys like Brian McCann or Robinson Chirinos, Kurt Suzuki, those guys this offseason are making somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 to $5 million. So I don't think that the Blue Jays are going to find a team out there who wants to take on $7 or $8 million of Russell Martin. So first and foremost, the Jays would have to be willing to take on a lot of money. And then at that point, I do think there would be interest. I mean, it makes sense because Russell Martin, even at age 35, is someone who's very skilled as a receiver behind the plate, and he can still get on base a little bit too.
Ben, we know this team is more than likely not going to be in contention. They don't want to spend a ton of money. We don't know how free agency is going to shake out. But is there an instance where the more money the Blue Jays eat from this Russell Martin contract, the better prospect they can get in return?
Yeah, I think no doubt about that. And, you know, there's probably a limit to how much the Jays would need. I don't think we're going to see them take on, you know, 19 of the 20 million. But if they take on 17 as opposed to 15, the prospect that they would get back would definitely be better. And so depending on the team that they're talking to or the point in the offseason that they're having this conversation, I could see it going really, really either way. And I don't think you're getting a transformative prospect back in this trade. But because of his skills as a catcher defensively and even as a hitter, I do think that they'd be able to get a somewhat intriguing piece back for Russell Martin. It wouldn't just be a player to be named later.
All right, so you ask, can the Blue Jays expect a full and productive 2019 season for Troy Tulowitzki? And Ross Atkins' answer is, and I quote, candidly, I think Troy would agree, that's not likely. That doesn't mean he's not going to do it, but candidly, I don't think that's likely. And statistically speaking, that's probably, not probably, it's not going to happen unless he's the magic man. And so do we have a problem on our hands? Because here's a guy that's already said, I'm the shortstop or I'm going home. What happens if he's not the shortstop? You still have that contract. You still have him under contract, and he's still on the team.
Yeah, $38 million over the next two seasons at least. So that's a lot of money. I don't know that it's necessarily a problem, though. It's a problem in the sense that it would have been really nice for the Blue Jays to get some more production from Tulowitzki than they have. But at this point, I think the expectations have to be low. And it doesn't sound as though the Blue Jays are going to approach him about moving off of the shortstop position at this point. It seems like they want to get him healthy, and yet they realize that this is going to be an uphill battle because around baseball, pretty much all of the shortstops in baseball were 31 or younger last year. So anyone who played the position regularly, the oldest they were was 31 years old. Tulo next year is going to be 34. So the numbers would suggest that this is a really, really tall order for him to get back and be anything close to an everyday shortstop. He wants to do it, and really that's on him. So, you know, he is a very driven person. He's got very far in his career by pushing himself and by getting results from himself. But until he can show the Blue Jays that he's capable of playing that position at that level, then there's not even really a discussion to be had.
Ben, obviously, Ross Atkins mentioned how there has been some interest in Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman, and why wouldn't there be? To me, it just feels weird. Why would you trade two guys when it feels like their value is at their lowest, when they do have 2 years left at control with control? And another question, too, if the Blue Jays do trade both those guys, good God, Ben, what is this rotation going to look like heading into 2019?
Yeah, it would be so thin. And I think already the starting rotation is the weakest part of their team because they're hoping for developments from Sean Reed Foley and Ryan Barucki and Thomas Pannone and Trent Thornton, but they aren't necessarily sure things. And the guys at the top of their rotation, and Stroman and Sanchez, both missed considerable time with injury last year. So as you said, George, I mean, this is a big question mark already. I think there are scenarios where if you get a really good return for one of these guys, then absolutely you can make that trade because they are only here for a couple more seasons. But when you look at the James Paxton trade, which occurred a few weeks ago, the Mariners get back Justice Sheffield as the primary piece in that trade. He's a good prospect for sure. But depending on who you ask, Justice Sheffield might not even be a future starting pitcher. He might have to move to the bullpen. And that was for James Paxton, who definitely has more trade value than Marcus Stroman or Aaron Sanchez. So I'm not sure that at this point in time, just given the seasons that those two guys had, that you would be getting a huge return for Stroman or Sanchez. And so while it makes complete sense to explore trade possibilities, I don't necessarily think that there needs to be a ton of urgency to trade these guys after both of them ended the season hurt.
Obviously, you're going to need pitching to fill out a rotation. No matter what happens, they trade one guy, they're going to have to find somebody to push in there. Hopefully, it'll be better than, you know, low-level pitching. They've been linked to a return of Jay Happ. They've been linked to Dallas Keuchel, who's a free agent. How likely is this people just throwing their name out with the Blue Jays? Hey, they have interest. Of course we have interest. Those are good pitchers. Are they likely to make a play for either one of those guys? A competitive play?
No, not with Keuchel. Definitely not with Keuchel. I think with Happ, yeah. I think the Jays would go to 1 year on an option, maybe 2 years for Jay Happ. I don't see them going 3 years for Happ. And honestly, when you look at the state of some of the contending rotations in baseball, like the Yankees, for example, the Phillies, for example, these are even the Nationals, even after acquiring Patrick Corbin, they could use help at the back of their rotation. So I think that Jay Happ is going to have either three-year offers or really generous two-year offers. And I don't think the Jays at this point in their franchise story, I don't think that they need to be out there winning bidding wars for 35-year-old pitchers. I mean, Jay Happ's a great pitcher, and at the right price, I think he makes sense here. But it just doesn't seem to me like this is the way that you spend your money. If you're a team that's really not expecting to compete this year, you don't necessarily need to go out there and go that extra year for a guy who's really good, no question about it, but who's entering his late 30s.
Ben, with the comments that Ross Atkins made about Devin Travis yesterday, is he the player that has the most pressure on him to perform in spring training?
It's up there because his season will be on the line in spring training. But, you know, it's interesting. When you look up and down this roster, there are a lot of players with a lot of pressure to perform. And that could be viewed as a good thing for a team that really needs to see improvement across the board. I mean, if you're looking at a guy like Danny Jansen or Reese McGuire, they need to prove themselves and they need to prove that they belong in the major leagues. Same for Rowdy Tellez. Teoscar Hernandez needs to show the Blue Jays meaningful improvement on defense. I think that, you know, Ryan Barucki has to prove himself and prove that he is worthy of a continued spot in that starting rotation, and one that he would certainly have the inside edge for. So I think there are a lot of players on this team, even Kendrys Morales. I mean, if he doesn't have a good spring, if other guys start to push him as a really good hitter on this team, you could see a path where he's under some pressure too. So I think there are probably more players under a lot of pressure than there are guys who can just show up. Like, you know, maybe Justin Smoke could be a counterexample, but there aren't that many Justin Smokes who just show up and have a guaranteed job on this team.